All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? It's a big-time Monday here in the big city as the Texans put an ass-whooping on the Titans. Barry is back in the studio. Nick and I are safely back from Beaumont. Barry, unfortunately, did not get the hugs we were hoping for in Dallas. But just to start the show, fellas, can we all agree, everyone, just can't we all just give one big hug to everyone and get along? Because this Vegas stuff is out of left field and completely whacked out and crazy. Prayers to everybody in Vegas and their families and everyone affected. But woke up to that news this morning and thought, man, sports becomes secondary in a real big hurry when stuff like this goes down.
Always sad to wake up to that. Or last night I started seeing people checking in as safe on Facebook right away. And I was like, what's going on? It's always weird when you find out about it that way. Because I'm not a big news watcher. I don't have any news apps. I don't really care about the news all that much.
Yeah, me either.
Because I get tired of the politics and everything else involved. But then you start seeing tweets and hashtags and people checking in as safe that friends of mine that live in Vegas. And then, so, you know, yeah, I'll go and look into it. And, man, it's just unbelievable. The things that are going on right now. You know what I mean? It seems so weird with the weather and it's just unbelievable.
I said this 2017 could easily be the year of the first responder between flooding, hurricanes, all the terrorist attacks outside of this country, and then everything going on with what happened in Vegas and stuff inside this country. You know, with everybody just realizes that the first responders have been some of the most important people in the entire year for the United States, and it's just, who would have thought that?
Yeah, and I see this, and my heart just breaks for the families and the victims and the survivors. And then I'm like, here we go. We're going to have the gun control argument and debate again, mm-hmm. which is just it just becomes beating your head against the wall because neither side is willing to compromise, as per usual in this country. It's just another tragedy that will probably get overshadowed by the debate over gun control once again.
Yeah, and then the other scary part about it, and I was tweeting about it this morning, is the fact that, you know, you worry about everything that's going on outside the country and the terroristic threats and everything like that in North Korea. But then when you got to worry about going to school, you're sending your kids to school or going to a concert or going to a sporting event because they're such targets now. Based on, you know, what's happened in recent history in this country. And you got to live your life. I get it. And, you know, you got to go on day to day and you can't walk around in fear. But for all those people going to that concert, the last thing that crossed their minds, I'm sure, was that they were going to be in harm's way and in some kind of danger going to a Jason Aldean concert.
Yeah. Yep.
And so now you're already seeing buildings across the country that are, you know, ramping up security and saying that they're going to have to, you know, be on high alert and take extra precautions. And, you know, some people are going to bitch about that and the fact that security lines are going to make it harder for them to get in and out of the, or at least in to the arenas. But guess what? It's for their own safety.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a shame because it takes away our freedoms. But yeah. Somebody texted and said that dumbass Vegas shooter, just as concealed carry reciprocity is trying to get passed, he's got to go and mess it all up. I mean, to me, all of this doesn't matter. Like, criminals don't obey the law. So it doesn't matter if you outlaw guns. They're going to get them. That's the part of the debate that I just don't understand. You can outlaw. Drugs are outlawed. Drugs are illegal. People get them all the time. So I don't know. Somebody texted and asked, did I go full Kramer in my stand-up routine? No. No, I did not. Didn't do that at all. Nope. Dallas was fun, though. I got to be honest with you guys. I really am starting to like that city a lot.
Oh, boy. Everybody talks about how, like, I guess, like, it looks River Oaks-y, I guess.
Yep. Yep.
That's the word I hear.
I'm gonna give you the exact conversation I had with one of the bartenders that worked the club, and I'm not gonna filter any of my responses or her responses or anything like that. But I pretty much told her, I'm really starting to love coming to Dallas because everything here is nice and clean. And her response was, well, yeah, you're from Houston. It's a bleep hole.
Wow. Jeez.
And my response was, you're kind of right. I mean, look around. This city is dirty. Our city is not clean. Go to Dallas, drive around, no matter where you drive. We have weeds growing out of concrete in this city. You don't see that in Dallas. You know what they do in Dallas? They mow the sides of the roads in Dallas. They plant grass. You know what Houston does? We let weeds become grass, and then we don't mow them.
I don't understand why
this city can't do better as far as being clean. Now, I will say this. The trade-off is you get pulled over every five minutes in Dallas. So that, you know, you're getting tickets and the revenue is great up there. You know what I mean? But they're using it. They're paying for it. They have digital billboards. They have billboards with waterfalls. And we have this plain ass billboards. We have an ugly, there's no zoning. That's part of the problem here. I love my city, born and raised here. But this city is ugly.
Wow, I would have never guessed you would say that.
I was kind of shocked to hear it come out of his mouth just now.
I mean, this is my, what, fourth, fifth time up there to the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex this year alone? And I've kind of been all over it now, driving around, because I thought, well, maybe it's just because I'm going to certain places.
Right.
Dude, everywhere I've gone in that city, now, granted, there are places in the city that are not as nice.
Right.
Those are few and far between. Here, that's the norm. Like when you drive, you know where the nicest parts are? Right when you leave Intercontinental Airport. It's real nice and clean. There's trees and there's walls and grass. And man, you just go driving around the rest of the city, it's weeds. In the median, it's weeds.
When I interviewed here, and of course coming from Portland, Oregon, which is all natural beauty and green and trees and everything like that, my first impression was, because I wanted the job so badly, I can make it work, but it is, for what everybody said, no zoning, concrete everywhere, you know, no green, no natural beauty. But I've grown to love it and get used to a lot of it and know the surroundings enough to go, you know what, there's a lot of great spots in this city. But I've been to Dallas several times, and Nick, you hit it right on the head. It's a very kind of uppity, kind of a River Oaks-y kind of a thing, and I know that there's a rivalry between the two cities, and Dallas is spread out too, but
Dallas is a big city. It took me 45 minutes to get from where I was staying in Fort Worth to the club in Dallas, which is about how long it takes me to get from my house to the Joke Joint here in Houston. But you know what the difference is? It was a nice drive. Like, the freeways are done. They're nice. They're not raggedy and potholes. And I'm telling you, I don't understand how in this city we have weeds growing out of concrete. That just amazes me. And then my buddy Connor's like, Barry slowly turning into that old lady that runs the HOA. Dallas got him feeling uppity. No, I'm just, this city is dirty. Can we at least just own the fact that this city, I love my city. I love the culture. I love the flavor. This is a dirty ass city. Okay, it is. We could do better. Go ahead, send me all your hate. Go send me all your hate tweets and all your hate texts. I don't care. This is a dirty ass city. We should clean it up and we should do better. Can we plant some grass on the side of the road? Maybe some bushes. I don't know. Maybe mow the weeds. Ugh.
December 1st on the ticket in Big D, it's Criminal Minds with Barry Laminack on 101 FM.
Somebody said that the state fair is in Dallas this month. That's why they're cleaning it up. No, it was like that every time I've gone. But the state fair is stupid, too. Let's be real about that. I'm a native Texan.
Did they rebuild Big Tex?
Yeah, it burned down in 2012. It's kind of like, yeah, take the hint, guys. It's stupid. Let it go. Like, Big Tex is the dumbest thing. And then they're like, they're always like, oh, what's Big Tex going to be wearing this year? Like, everyone up there gets excited about what outfit he's going to have on. And I kind of likened it to, like, the Redneck Groundhog Day. It's like, oh, I can't wait to see. Oh, look, he's wearing white. 6 more years of racism. That's great.
It proves to me that's part of Dallas.
It's just, I don't get the state fair. They have deep fried food, just like the rodeo. Yeah. But they. I was reading an article. They have deep fried chicken noodle soup on a stick. That's true.
Really?
Think about that for a minute. Deep fried chicken noodle soup on a stick.
I'm not believing the soup part of it.
Look it up. Google State Fair food. They deep fried Fruit Loops. That's on there too.
Yeah, I mean, but every state fair deep fries the world. They try and deep fry everything.
But chicken noodle soup, like, really? That doesn't even sound remotely delicious. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm not a big state fair kind of guy, and the Wisconsin State Fair is big too with deep frying everything, and then they're known for their cream puffs until the one year that they found rodent droppings and some of the cream puffs.
No.
It's like, come on now.
Yeah.
I mean, find something new to hang your hat on.
I got in trouble with one of my sets because I started off talking about the state fair. I was like, you know, guys, no one gives a bleep but y'all, right? Like, I'm native Texan. I've never been to the state fair. You guys are the only ones that care about this. You might as well just call it the Dallas Fair or something because no one else is flocking, driving from El Paso for the state fair. No one cares that much. If you go up there, it's probably for the game, for the UT-Oklahoma game. But no one's just like, ooh, I can't wait to drive to Dallas to see the same things we see at the rodeo here in Houston. No one's caring.
So I might have to experience Dallas firsthand this weekend, too. So I might be going up there. So I might have to see what you're talking about. But I just have never seen it from that perspective. I've always seen and heard the uppity part.
I will say this. Look at their road system. Get a map. Zoom out on the roads. Why are their freeways shaped like a penis? I don't understand that either. Go look at it. It's really weird. I noticed that this weekend. I was like, wow. It's actually a phallic symbol.
Yeah, there you
That's
go.
Why they call it Big D, I guess.
Again.
I don't know.
All right, so we're going to be here for the next 3 hours. It's Nick, it's Barry, it's Joel, it's the usual suspects. And if you want to join the program, we call you the suspects for a reason. Please feel free, 713-780-3776, HRNP Lister Line, where you can call, you can text, or you can hit us up on Twitter, at Barry is funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at the producer Nick, who did one hell of a job filling in on Friday and got more than his share of long sensual hugs from the female persuasion while we were there in Big Beaumont, where we will be again this Friday, to the 409, Nick's new happy zone. Forget what you say about Dallas, Barry. Nick has found a home, and it's in Beaumont, Texas.
Nice.
We're back with a whole lot more. The usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects, where the journey to Jacksonville has begun. We're giving away a trip for two to Jacksonville, Florida, to see Houston take on Jacksonville. You know the teams. You know where they're playing. Log on to ESPN975.com. Find out the three ways to qualify for the grand prize drawing on November the 24th. You could win a three-night stay at the DoubleTree by Hilton Hotel, downtown Jacksonville Riverfront. Go to the football game on December the 17th at Everbank Field and play a round of golf at the Hidden Hills Golf Club. All courtesy of Florida's First Coast of Golf. Visit Florida. And, of course, always visit ESPN 97.5 and ESPN975.com. So how about that?
You're a damn professional. You know that? I was trying to throw you off.
Oh, I was going to yell in a minute when I was done. Stop the hammering. But I didn't.
You did really good because I don't know if they could hear it, but I had turned my mic off and was reading the same copy, trying to mess you up. You did good.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, that's a really good job there.
Speaking of doing good.
Yeah.
Over there on Kirby yesterday, there was a bit of ass whooping.
What happened?
Deshaun Watson played pretty darn good. And before we get into all of this back and forth and some people that just can't be happy for happy, I have an issue. And I'm going to give you credit.
Oh, boy.
Because all I could keep thinking about with as good as Deshaun Watson and the team played yesterday was a statement that you have stuck to from the very beginning that I could not agree with more. And that is, if anyone over there knew what we are seeing now was potentially going to happen, how the hell was this guy not the starter from day one? How was this guy not getting more reps with the ones? And how was this not a start-to-finish Deshaun Watson season? Because, boy, oh, boy. I heard some ass clown call into a show somewhere this morning and go, I mean, guys, let's not get too excited. I mean, the Cincinnati game, he sucked. And then, you know, he got better the next game. Well, he had 3 days to plan for the Cincinnati game, right? He was thrown into the last three quarters of the Jacksonville game. But with time to prep, the difference between the Cincinnati game and then the New England game and then the Tennessee game, look, you do have your quarterback. You do have a guy that is extremely talented, and as long as that line holds up, and it doesn't have to hold up as long as it would have had to hold up for Tom Savage, this guy knows what he's doing. The problem for me is, if you could see it and know it from training camp, why wasn't he the guy from day one?
It's an interesting view because he didn't just become all of a sudden this good for being a rookie. I mean, the signs had to have been there, right? The skills had to have shown through. I don't know what the reason was. It just makes me lose a little bit more confidence in Bill O'Brien when you see this happen. It happened when he had the quick trigger with Hoyer and Mallett a couple of years ago. And you see these kind of things and you just wonder what's going on. It also makes me wonder what was going on behind the scenes. Who was forcing Savage on the team as opposed to waiting on Deshaun Watson or vice versa? Was it Bill O'Brien insisting that Savage is the guy? Was it Rick Smith? Was it Bob McNair? Was something else going on that we didn't know about? I don't know. All I know is if you were on that practice field, you probably saw Deshaun Watson play and thought, he's better than Savage. And hey, let's give credit where credit is due. He's certainly not Warren Moon yet, but John McClain was tooting the horn of Deshaun Watson and how great he was, and so far, he's living up to the billing. And to the excuse for the Bengals, one, you didn't have any weapons. He had no weapons. Fuller was out. No tight ends. An offensive line that's been moved around since then as well, a little bit, and some shuffling.
And 3 days.
So you look at what he's done with some prep work and everything else. But I tell you one, and we can talk all day about how great Deshaun Watson played, and I'm ready to do that. But I think you also have to stop. And it's my very first note that I made in the game. You have to give, and it's the same note that I had last week. You have to give credit to Bill O'Brien and his play calling.
Yep.
Because he is calling really good games. I mean, he is mixing it up. He's running some play action, which I really like. He's moving. You know, he's got Deshaun moving. He's calling much better plays for the personnel that he has to work with. And I think that, along with the fact that Deshaun Watson is showing a lot of promise, is really the difference in this team right now.
I give Bill O'Brien credit. Now, I'm not giving him a pass. I'm not getting him off the hook, because I've been critical of a lot of things with him, including game management, the timeouts, the challenge flags, a lot of different things. But you're absolutely right, because he knew how limited his playbook had to be in Cincinnati. He opened it up a little bit more in New England, and he full-blown let it go against the Titans. There was variety. There was a lot of movement. There was a lot of room for Deshaun to do his own thing when he had to and improvise, but it was great, and I'll give him full credit on that. But it's funny you mentioned John McClain, too, because John McClain was constantly making the comparisons to Warren Moon. Now, I don't know how much John McClain went out on a limb to say how good Deshaun Watson was overall. He just was making that comparison. But those two guys had an interesting exchange yesterday postgame, and it sounded a little something like this.
Just give us your overall impression of your game and then Watson's performance.
I mean, I don't know, John. We just came off the field. I thought that was, you know, good complimentary football. It was a good win, but we got a long way to go. But it was good. So I don't know. What do you want me to do? I haven't even seen any of the film.
You got a long way to go, huh?
We got 13 games. I mean, look.
Just this one.
We're gonna go down this road again of what you're gonna write and what I'm gonna say, and you write what you're gonna write, and I'll say to the team what I'm gonna say to the team.
So what are you gonna say to the team after?
Good job, guys. Let's go get ready for Kansas City.
You know, last week when the Texans were playing the Patriots, I sent a tweet out when the Texans, you know, there was before the last drive. And I said, I hope the Texans don't win this game because I'm not ready for cocky Bill O'Brien again. Because after the Bengals and the Jags, and you know, the Jags broke their back and made them humble, like the Iron Sheik would say. O'Brien was a different guy at the podium. Pre and post game. You know what I mean? He was much more, well, we're just going to go in there. We're going to do the best we can do. You know what I mean? He was not confrontational. And then here he comes. He gives the Patriots all they can handle, turns back around and puts an ass whooping on the Tennessee Titans. And now look where we're at. John McClain's in there, and I'm not a big John McClain guy. Mm-hmm. I don't know the dude all this. I don't hate him, but I don't love him. It's whatever. I'm apathetic, I guess. But he's doing his job. His job is to go to a press conference and ask questions to write about. And he asks the questions, and then O'Brien immediately acts like a dick. And there's no reason to do that. He's got a job to do. You've got a job to do. Part of your job is to do a post-game press conference and answer questions. Why do you have to be an a-hole about it? I don't understand that. I'd almost rather see him go 0-16 so that he has to just be humbled and answer questions at the podium as opposed to just being a jerk.
He probably should be an a-hole to the right people, too. Like, the last person he should be an a-hole to, honestly, is McClain, or he's one of the last people, because he ain't going nowhere.
No.
He's going to be credentialed. He's going to be at every Texans game, a lot of the road games. They're not getting rid of him unless he decides to go.
He is, Nick, but the only thing I would combat that with is that coming from the Belichick system, he's trying to use a little intimidation too. Like, you know what? It's obvious those guys probably had some kind of a disagreement or running in the past week or so. And Barry, to your point, cocky Bill O'Brien is starting to rear its ugly head real quick because of the fact that it looks like, you know, the team is coming together. The quarterback is the right guy. Things like that. So it's going to be interesting to see. But as much as McClain's going to have all that, he still realizes if he doesn't get Bill O'Brien to talk to him, he misses a whole bunch for his columns,
that
too.
That makes sense, too. Absolutely.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's no reason to be like that. He's got a job to do. You know, and people love to throw out the comparison. Well, he comes from the Belichick tree and the school of thinking, and Belichick's like that. Actually, Belichick's not really like that. Like, that was confrontational. That was like, you're going to write what you're going to write, and I'm going
to
say
that. Belichick kind of waits for you to.
Belichick just goes,
wait for that
first. Well, I'm not answering that. Let's move on. We're moving on to the next team. Yeah. Or like, well, what are you going to say? Oh, I'm just going to say whatever I say, and they're going to hear whatever I tell them.
The question is a softball question like that.
But
because they want them to just
view the game. What's your thoughts on why?
Yeah, I mean, they want the longest answer so everybody can get the sound bites they need. Just roll for like a paragraph.
Yeah, but Belichick, I mean, he's, don't get me wrong, he can be an a-hole.
Oof.
But it's almost just O'Brien almost seems like he goes out of his way, especially when things are going well. He's cocky. That's what it is. He gets in there and he acts cocky. And there's no reason to be like that.
Julian on Twitter says, I think coaches are tired of McClain's arrogance when asking questions. No one owes him anything. And that I agree with completely. They don't owe him anything, but you just hope that there's a mutual understanding of respect. And sometimes when people are writing columns, they forget that to try and sell papers or, you know, get the big story of the day. And coaches don't forget that. And they have guys on their team and their staff in those front offices these days that are solely in charge of and responsible for getting in front of the coaching staff. Everything that's written, every quote that's made, every opinion that's put on paper or out there on social media, so that they can understand who's writing what and who's saying what about them. That's a fact. So we'll see how that plays out this week. But that's another tough game for the Texans. But hey, a big win, a win we all said they had to have, they got. Helps them in the division immensely. And then, oh, by the way, when Jacksonville lays the big bad egg against the Jets, the division is once again wide open. We'll see how it plays out. We got plenty more to talk about with the Texans and other things. Astros getting ready for the playoffs. And, of course, Charlie Pulillo joins us next. CP will be with us 1:30 to 2 o'clock, so please feel free to join the discussion. HRNP listener line 713-780-3776 or hit us up on Twitter. Usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. So get out your seat and jump around.
Jump around. ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back to the show. The journey to Jacksonville has begun. We're giving away a trip for two to Jacksonville, Florida to see Houston take on Jacksonville. To get a chance to win, log on to ESPN975.com and find out the three ways to qualify for the grand prize drawing on November 24th. You can win a three-night stay at the DoubleTree by Hilton Hotel, downtown Jacksonville Riverfront. You get to go to the football game on December 17th at Everbank Field and play a round of golf at the Hidden Hills Golf Club, all courtesy of Florida's first coast of golf. Visit Florida and ESPN975. Well done. He tried to. He
I didn't go too far.
Payback was.
Yeah, it was what it was.
Yeah. I was able to tune you out. Yeah,
he was most disrupt the promotional read of the.
Yeah, he was doing a read, and since I had a copy of it, I was also reading it with my mic off just to see if I could throw him. But of course, he's a professional, so I could not. Welcome to the show, Charlie.
You didn't tell me you were in Beaumont Friday. I'd have made it by.
Yeah, would you say the final vote was 51-49 staying here instead of going to see
it
us?
It was a percentile call. And as you know, the electoral college system, so, in the end, it's 100-0 and all the votes.
Nick had us warmed up waiting for you just to join us because he had the special menu.
I'm glad you said that, though, because they're there again this Friday, so you'll get to go now. So we can count on you being there, right?
No takebacks! I'll probably be at a baseball game at that point.
Oh, okay.
Whoa, so there's no carpool?
What?
Oh, and by the way, happy birthday.
What?
The birth of a, I never really got to tell you, I didn't see father figures, things that I would be looking at you for. But since you've helped to birth Sports Map 94.1, and the birthday is today as the baby is here, how was the first day on the 94.1 FM signal?
Man, a little bit of spitting up. Yeah. But other than that, the baby seems to be doing all right. So people can actually hear the station I'm on now.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, that's in the ear of the beholder.
Some people on social media have already found out just how devastating it can be when you can see a radio broadcast live.
It should work out. Yeah.
See?
Done.
Okay, you got that one.
It should work out very well, and now we're even more neighborly with 97.5. So.
Yeah, no need
not
to ever
all
go,
good enough.
But no need to ever go AM again when you've got the two FMs that we got going.
That's true. And I also found out that 94.1, it'd be between the two stations, but at least for games one and two, the Astros playoff games, the national package, not trying to bait and switch anybody or anything like that. But if you happen to not be big on the local broadcast or you happen to be Red Sox fans in town, 94.1 will have games one and two. And then I guess depending on what game is airing when, but all Astros playoff games, as many as they have between the two stations.
How many are they going to have, Charlie?
Well, there's a minimum of three and a maximum of 19.
Not what I'm asking. Are we going to get to see these Astros in the World Series? Is it going to happen?
I think the Indians are the rightful favorite. I mean, the Astros surge to the wire, but not an Indian surge. But you can't ask for a better opportunity than they have. It looks like all their key hitters are rolling right now with the question of Reddick. I think he would start against left-handed starting pitching, but if he's down against the lefty and you have to replace him, it's not as big a deal as if you were without Reddick against the righty, and the Red Sox are certainly going lefty-lefty, and then they'll decide for game three. But Correa appears back. Altuve is Altuve. Bregman swinging it pretty well. Marwin Gonzalez was terrible in August, great in September. And then you have Springer, Verlander, Keuchel, Peacock, all excellent at minimum in each of their last three starts. But it's 3 out of 5. You know, Sale could stuff them. Pomerantz stifled their bat Saturday, and then just one other game, and Boston can win a series. Pretty much any baseball playoff series is close to a coin flip. But if both teams play, let's say, at the equivalent level, if they both play their best, very rarely do both play their best or do both play their worst, the Astros have a better team than the Red Sox. The Red Sox offense is clearly inferior to the Astros lineup. For the season, the Red Sox absolutely had a better pitching staff than the Astros. They have a better bullpen right now. But the rotation thing was evened up dramatically with Verlander arriving on the scene. But in a best out of five, I mean, the only hiccup for the Astros in the last month was getting swept four by Oakland. So a crap team can beat a really good team 3 out of 5. A good team can certainly beat a great team 3 out of 5.
Does it make sense to say all these series should be 7 games instead of 5? It's just simply because the best team has a better chance to win, but that you can at least let it play out. I think you're absolutely right, and I think in the past history has shown anybody can beat anybody in a 5-game series.
Nevertheless, there is a favorite in each series, and I agree with you. And you have to balance the revenue. Game 7 of the World Series as is would be November 1st. But they're starting the season a little bit earlier. I mean, how about bring in an old-fashioned Sunday doubleheader or two if you're worried about going too deep in the calendar? The NBA went to the best of 7. Mm-hmm. And okay, you get more gates and so forth. But why would you increase the possibility of an upset in the earlier rounds by playing fewer games?
Yeah, I like a 7-game series. And you know what? Look at the amount of days off that they have during this series alone. Baseball players are used to a schedule, and their schedule is you get one day off a week if you're lucky on a Thursday or a Monday.
And it diminishes the importance of depth in the starting rotation, which is part of why 162 games. It's the marathon sport, not a sprint. You can totally change how you use your bullpen. You see what Francona did with Andrew Miller and those other guys in the playoffs last year.
Yep.
So it's a little bit like the NCAA tournament. The best team for the season doesn't typically wind up winning the championship. It's who catches the right wave and can surf it for the 3-4 weeks of the postseason.
All right, so then that brings up the other question. You know, Barry and I have been kicking around for a long time now, but Lance McCullers, I posed the question to Jeff Blum on Friday, does he even make the divisional series roster simply because of the fact that you have so many unknowns with this guy? You wanted to see what he had in this last start against the Red Sox, and again, he started out for a couple of innings, and then the wheels started to come off, and then you basically were left with more uncertainty than you were convinced that this was a guy that was going to help you, at least in this opening series. I said, quite frankly, look, I think I'd leave him off the divisional series, and if you get to the ALCS and he continues to progress, then you might consider putting him back there. But that's where I am with this. Where are you guys on this? Because it was a big topic this weekend.
I don't think you have an arm like McCullers and leave him off the roster. I feel like you got to go into this series with your best arms, all hands on deck. And I realize he struggled a little bit. He showed command of his curveball for the most part. He did struggle a little bit off and on. He was able to spot his fastball. I think you see if he felt good after the start, you realize he's going to have some tough outings here and there. I mean, remember when Keiko first came back, he had three rough outings in a row, and I warned everybody, all right, if we get to a fourth one, then panic on Keiko. He had a shutdown outing, and since then he's been great. And it's the same thing with Lance McCullers. He just needs time to pitch. And I don't think if you sit him now, then he's certainly not going to get that sitting out a series to be ready for the ALCS and beyond. I think you got to have him on the roster at least to bring him in or to spot start if somebody gets hurt or goes a half an inning and blows up.
I think you're definitely going to carry a fifth starting pitcher for the first round. And you can change your roster by round. But you know you're going Verlander, Keuchel, Peacock. To me, it's Charlie Morton off body of work in game four. But then there's the freaky stuff. What if in Boston, Morton forgot it's cool out and he slept with a window open and he wakes up with a stiff neck? What happens if Brad Peacock pops a hamstring in the third inning? What happens if Keuchel, oh my God, he's knocked out of the game in the fourth inning? So you want that fifth starter to be kind of a longer man. I lean McCullers over McHugh for that role, but I wouldn't be offended if he went the other way. But McCullers, I think it's one game and one game only. You're not going to have him up warming up consecutive days given all the injury issues he's had. I think there are nine pitchers who are locks for the roster, the four presumed starters, and then in the bullpen, Giles, Devenski, Musgrove, Harris, and Liriano to come face one lefty. So you have two spots left. Gregerson doesn't do anything for me. Clipper doesn't do anything for me. Martez, because of his strikeout ability. That's another thing about McCullers. He's a power arm. It could get you a strikeout here or there. Maybe you carry McHugh and McCullers, thinking you have each of them available in one game, maybe two if it goes five in the bullpen. But really, if you're asking for meaningful work out of either, stuff has gone wrong for you.
I think you'll see Gregerson on the roster.
I think Gregerson's on the roster. I think he's making it too. Yeah,
wouldn't make mine.
I understand that, but at the same time, Hinch seems to be always in favor of Gregerson. So I think that he'll go with someone he trusts regardless. You know, I agree with you. All right, so we can continue on some Astros talk and definitely get down to what happened yesterday on Kirby. Kirby with a big win. Boy, Houston going crazy about their quarterback. But, hey, let's be honest. That was a win they had to have, and they went out and got it. So Charlie's here with us for one more segment. So hang in there. We'll be right back with much more Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
One day we might have a big house with nice...
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects with our Person of Interest Mondays and Fridays. It's one Charles Polillo of 94.1. Sports map, not sports fat, sports map. Although we should probably fill in, Charlie, at some point about the fact that we mentioned renaming it sports fat because pound for pound of all the sports stations when we were trying to see who would weigh out where, the sports map side, aside from you, might have a huge advantage, so to speak.
Can't say I give it out that now. This is per person or total poundage?
Barry, how are you doing this?
They're just all fat over there.
All I was saying.
Yeah,
but except also, for you, Charlie.
But I was like, look, and then
obviously.
You look, but when you look across the dial, 790 has three ex-NFL guys that just weight-wise.
And was not a lineman.
Like Seth Payne was DMing me during the segment going, hey, well, it's got to be a body fat percentage because if it's just by weight, he thought they were in trouble.
Yeah, I said pretty much that 97.5 is the fittest station, sports talk station in the city. By far. There's really nobody that's
probably the essence of damning with faint praise right there.
Yeah. So, but I mean, 6'10". They're all fatties.
It's a team of CrossFitters over here, right?
Well, look at us. We're amazing. Look at this body, dude. Do I not look like Adonis?
And, we haven't played softball with you yet, but leanest. We did win the 3-on-3 against the SB Nation guys, and that was basically the epitome of fit versus
790 all lard asses. I mean, this is where it's at. I'd say 97.5 is the fittest, and then 94.1, and then everybody else is just fat.
Where does Salisbury count?
He's a football player. Yeah. He's not fat.
Both. Oh yeah, both.
Okay. Yeah,
because it's just a total. It's total pounds. I think.
I mean, you know, weight. It cancels out. You know what I mean?
Because you think about it, the other stations, you got three NFLers on 790. You've got two over on 610. So, all right. With all that being said, just to kind of give you an FYI that you're not, we did kind of coin the term sports fat 94.1 last week. But with what went down on Kirby yesterday, of course, everybody's going to talk about Deshaun Watson. But overall, we mentioned that it was a game they had to win. They got that. The defense played better again. But more importantly, it seemed like Bill O'Brien opened up the playbook, wasn't quite as conservative, let Watson kind of freelance when he had to or wanted to, and with Will Fuller back as well, had some more weapons to choose from. But that was a fairly well-oiled machine against a Tennessee defense that was no slouch and a far cry from what you saw in Cincinnati.
You ever seen the Good Place? I think its second season just started, NBC. Bell.
Is that with Ted Danson, too?
Yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. If you haven't seen it, then I don't want to make a reference, which won't make sense.
Well, go ahead. I'm sure there's a ton
Barry
of people that
tells
have.
Me I do it all the time.
All right. He does. I think Bill O'Brien has quiet moments at home or when he's alone in the film room analyzing stuff where he says, what the fork was I thinking in going with Tom Savage?
Yeah.
I mean, it looks increasingly preposterous almost hourly now, and it's reflected better late than never. You know, it's like giving a second grader credit for knowing 2 + 2 = 4, but you have to start somewhere. But what O'Brien has done in pretty quick fashion since understanding he's playing the quarterback who, you know, kind of gives them hope and a real chance to go on to great things. But the diversity of the playbook, things you could not remotely contemplate having in there, unless you're a moron, with Tom Savage at quarterback. And all the zone read looks that they're presenting, when they're not even zone read plays that you can tell, they're just... But the defense has to respect them, account for them, if not be fearful of them. And the legendary, rightfully so, Dick LeBeau, the 80-year-old coordinator of the Titans all those years with the Steelers and Blitzberg and all that. It's like they had a complete nervous breakdown where they wound up repeatedly leaving guys wide open in the flat. Anderson, Lamar Miller's 32-yard catch and run off a pass early. And it's still the honeymoon phase, I guess, with Deshaun Watson. But it's just an absolute revelation that has completely changed the dynamics of their whole season potential. And part of me wants the Chiefs to win tonight. So the only undefeated team left already. The only undefeated team is undefeated when
it comes
here.
They're going to see a great defense when Kansas City comes here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's they have injuries too, right? As we all know, they lost Eric Berry, right? But at the same time, they're going to see a huge upgrade in defense, even from Tennessee.
Bring it on! It's part of the necessary growth.
My partner started this kind of way of thinking a while back, and I give him total credit for it. And he's absolutely right. Aside from in that film room by himself when Billy O is looking at that tape, why didn't he see all this in training camp? Why didn't he go, hey, here's my guy. I got him from the start. Let's get him more time with the ones. Let's get him out there on the field as soon as possible because, look, regardless of how the offensive line plays, his legs can get him out of trouble, and, man, this kid is special.
Do you think O'Brien's ego in part factored in? We all have egos, and I don't think ego is just all a bad thing, but that – this lump of clay of Tom Savage or lump of whatever he is a football talent. It's the fourth year in my brilliant system, and you watch when I cultivate a guy and I germinate the seeds, and he's the one I've been developing to conclusively determine that Tom Savage was the guy for them after an entire offseason and preseason. It stupefies me.
Well, it makes me wonder, and I said it earlier.
And, oh, when you have a formula. He can't do so many things that you have to release the reins and let Deshaun Watson at the improv become a sizable chunk of your offense. Ooh, that's not under the coach's thumb where I'm scheming brilliantly and all my play calls, and we're going to execute exactly the way I want to draw it up.
Well, we were talking about this earlier, and it makes me wonder what was going on behind the scenes. Who's the one pulling the strings here? Who's the one asking for who? Who really is Tom Savage? Is that a Rick Smith pick, or was that a Bill O'Brien pick? Who really is Deshaun Watson? Is that a Rick Smith pick or a Bill O'Brien want? What's going on? Who's the one saying you need to play this guy, you can't play this guy, or whatever? Because otherwise, it just makes it's. I hope that something like that is going on where they're not agreeing. Regardless of, but it, right now it just makes O'Brien look foolish.
It's a fair question because it happened with Osweiler, and all the rumors are out there that it came from above.
O'Brien
that
never Osweiler even met was Osweiler play. Before they gave him $37 million guaranteed.
So you got that. And then with the whole Savage when he was pulled in game one, there's a lot of people that I've talked to and other people that have speculated and said that came from above too. That, look, they just couldn't risk this. The big home opener after coming off of Harvey, everything that this home opener meant and how big it was on this stage for this city, regardless of anybody that was watching nationally or otherwise, that it came from above, that you got to get Savage out of there, you got to get Watson in there. So it's a fair question.
Yep. But what's done is done. They now have the guy who every indication on multiple levels. I mean, he is so poised in the pocket. I hope he doesn't hang in the pocket too often, yes. Too tough and too strong that he's taking too many hits, as big and strong and filled out as he is. But it just, as I said, the Patriots are 2-2, can't stop anybody. The Steelers are 3-1, iffy schedule, lost to the Bears. Yep. Roethlisberger so far looks like he's not sure he really wants to be playing. Buffalo is 3-1. If New England's really taking a dip, Oakland's 2-2 with Derek Carr hurt. The Deshaun Watson shift, what is so preposterous to thinking the Texans can be a real threat in the AFC this season? Imagine if J.J. Watt mixes in a sack at some point.
Yeah.
Yesterday, he bats the first pass.
Right.
That was it.
Yeah.
And it's not saying that he was zero impact whatsoever in the game, but no tackle. I think he had one hit on a court it might have been Castle. And why was J.J. Watt in the game when you're up 57-14 with 3 minutes to go?
Yeah.
Did you see those
ridiculous
stats?
It's not like college
stats?
Where you have 40 walk-ons you can put in.
Right.
But J.J. Watt, when I'm up 40, I'm pretty sure I'm not going to have him on the field.
Did you see the ridiculous stats,
but
though,
now,
against
keep
Tennessee?
In mind, I mean, he did miss a lot of time, so you probably are still – because I've said he still looks a step slow to me. He looks like – so he probably still is trying to get back in full game shape and to where he was prior to the injury. So
I'm not
I don't have a problem with it, but
I agree with you. But did you see the stats? I didn't even realize that. Against Tennessee, was it 5 straight games with a forced fumble, 8 straight games with a sack? All of that obviously went bye-bye yesterday. But you forget how dominant, like literally dominant, that guy was at one point. But again, we've talked about it on the show numerous times. Yeah, people are going to say, well, he's getting doubled, he's getting tripled. He said, look, if I don't get a sack the whole year, but we get 40 as a team.
But he was doubled and tripled in the past, and look at the numbers that he put up. He clearly, at this point, is not close to the player that he was pre the back injuries.
Yeah, that's definitely fair. But again, I'll tell you what, looking at next week and looking at this Kansas City game, the table is set. You got national TV, Sunday Night Football, at home. If Deshaun Watson's going to have that ultimate, not just coming out party, but I'm here to stay party, he's got the perfect stage to do it. But also, as we mentioned, Kansas City's going to bring with them a defense that's looking real, real positive and going, hey, this is where we ruin the party and let this kid know he's got a long way to go.
One thing that I would feel completely confident about if I'm at all interested in the Texans, he's not going to wet his pants because it's Sunday Night Football, my first primetime appearance. He ripped Alabama 2 new ones in national championship games.
That's a good point. Well, it'll be interesting to see. Charlie, we appreciate you spending some time with us, as always. Again, Friday we'll be on the road to Beaumont, so we can't wait to see you writing down some mileage as you hit the road with us to catch up in Beaumont.
What's the reimbursement rate here?
$30? $1,000 a mile.
That might get me to join you.
Yeah, that's only for you and Ken Hoffman. The rest of us, we just get a bag of peanuts and a stop at Buc-ee's. But so we'll miss you on Friday.
You know,
Friday.
I've never been in a Buc-ee's.
I
had a conversation for a different time.
Yeah.
What?
I go before I leave.
You still have to stop. I mean, that's you'll
Come
go.
On, Charlie,
you go.
You've been clamoring for some beaver balls. You got to get into a Buc-ee's at least once. All right, Charlie's on the
never
new
been.
Sports Map 94.1 Monday through Friday, 11 to 1. Don't miss it. It is clear and crystal FM. And there's no reason to ever go back to AM again between 97.5 and, of course, 94.1, the sports map. You have the Gal family of stations ready, willing, and able on FM Monday through Friday and all 7 days of the week. We've got 1 hour in the books, two hours still to go with the big show. Don't go anywhere. Much more of Nick, Barry, Joel, the usual suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.
From Dave Tepper, Carl Dukes, Julie Takahashi, Jerome Solomon, and Fred Fowler, A.J. Hoffman, and John Granato, we celebrate 10 years of sports on FM. Thank you, Houston. ESPN 97.5.
These guys are the best at it.